Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Haystack. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Metherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law. Triple threats in the house, Little D, Big D, your host, and Cullman attorney Melvin Haston. So we are finally all back together. It seems like every week that one of us is out. So
it is summertime, isn't it?
It is summertime, and unfortunately I'm working tons and tons of overtime, and I'm just wore out. And so I missed last week, but I'm back today. And let me tell you something. The heat's getting to me and everybody else. That's just the bottom line.
And it's not summer until, what, the 21st, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's next week.
No, it's not. No, it's like a couple days.
Or this week.
Yes, this week.
All right, well,
yeah, official days. If I've noticed anything, the whole like routine and schedule is just gone. Like, I have no idea what day of the week it is, hardly anymore.
That's me. Time flies by. I told somebody the other day, I said, hey, blink your eye and it's going to be Christmas. You just wait. The older you get, time flies.
That's what our parents always say.
It is.
That's why you should listen to your parents.
That's right. Always listen to your parents.
My 94-year-old grandfather departed a great amount of wisdom to me last night. He said, as you get older, you no longer worry about like staying young. You just try to staying alive.
Exactly. That is so true. You know, I can imagine, this is just me personally, if I'm 90 years old, I'm always going to wonder, am I going to wake up in the morning? You know, but you know what? There's a lot of people that's living longer these days. Man, I hope I'm one of them.
Have you ever thought about what kind of 90-year-old person you want to be?
I've never thought about
that. Do you want to be like a nice, sweet, everybody's always such a nice little man, or do you want to be like a mean, grumpy, hate the world?
And I've seen
everybody.
Both of them. I have seen both of them.
Just kind of be in the middle.
Look, I'll throw this out there. The highlight of his day at 94 years old is to stay awake until Judge Judy comes on. So he can laugh at the rest of society with Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. Boy, hey, she's something.
Oh, yeah, and she makes, is it 30 or 40 million a year?
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. I'm going to look it up.
30 or 40?
Yeah, it's a ton
just
of
by
money.
Just by the show or
yes.
Her actual career? Or does she is she even a judge, real
I
legal
guess that
judge?
Would make her and Oprah good friends, right?
So. Oh, I bet so. Oprah. I think she's a has-been now, ain't she? I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on with Oprah.
She retired into her own network.
Oh, okay. The Oprah network. Wow. So, look, there's lots of legal stuff going on.
Judge Judy's
right, here we go.
$45 million salary is not unreasonable, says a new ruling.
That is crazy.
Judge Judy's $47 million salary, is it too much rules, real judge? I guess they...
real judge.
Yeah, ain't that funny? So, I guess what happened is they took it to court. I think it says they took it to court. Her name is Judy Shinlin. Might be the highest paid star on television, but her $47 million per year salary isn't so outrageously high.
Divide that
according
by
to a real
52
judge.
Weeks, and that's $9 million a week?
No way.
$903,000 a week.
$900,000 a week.
I'm 40 hours a week, and $22,000 an hour.
Wow. That's insane.
And she don't even work 40 hours a week.
No, no. I mean, there for a while, there were so many judges on TV. Joe
Brown.
She
probably doesn't even prepare her own cases. I'm sure somebody else does.
Oh, yeah. Directors or whoever's on the show. But, you know, I mean, that was a hot thing there for a while. You know, there were so many attorneys in those attorney shows and...
They still are.
Is it? I don't watch TV.
I don't watch it that much, but it is. It's all crime scene, criminal minds, and CSIs, and I mean, they're all Law and Orders. They got all kinds of it's just one after the other.
Well, you see, about 5 years ago, I made the mistake of introducing him to a DVR. So now he has, like, all of them. He can watch Judge Judy whenever he wants. It's on demand.
Life is good for him right now with a DVR. Jeez. Now, what's the guy? Man, look, I'm getting old. I can't think because I'm tired. The guy who sings Super Freak?
Rick James.
Rick James was actually on Judge Judy one time. And I can't remember.
As a party?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he was getting sued.
Well, while we're talking about the good old days, Melvin, let me just go ahead and jump into this. How realistic of a show was Matlock?
Matlock? Andy Griffith.
We know that Atlanta has more than 100 people in it, so I mean, it's kind of like watching 24 and wondering how he got across L.A. in like 2.4 seconds. We know that didn't actually happen. But
hey, let me tell you something.
That was my grandmother's favorite show.
Matlock can do anything. Look, Matlock was smart, too.
Yeah, that was the deal.
I mean, you know, we talked one time about Blake West talking his way into a win in the courtroom, but Matlock done it every day, though.
He never lost a case,
did he? No. And, you know, and I'm sitting there watching Matlock thinking, where in the world is this going? I can't even keep up with it, and within 5 minutes, it's all laid out and he wins. I mean, I don't know.
I tell you what's crazy is I have read some some rulings, and then I've also read a transcript of some really old court cases, like the early 1900s, and it's just so different now. I mean, you know, before, I don't know when it changed, you could actually get up there and testify where so-and-so said, blah, you know, whatever, and I mean, that was admissible evidence, because you swore it under oath that you were telling the truth, and I guess they thought everybody told the truth, but now it's just the rules. It's really a game. It's just sometimes it gets almost ridiculous, but it does promote a lot more fairness now. You know, you're not just having somebody get up there and say what. The whole idea behind hearsay is you're supposed to be able to cross examine. So if you get up there and say, "Well, so and so told me," well, you're not really getting to cross examine what so and so really said, what they know, how they knew, and where they find this information out from, whatever. So that's why it's all hearsay information. You want to be able to cross examine that. You have the opportunity to cross examine that person. That's the due process, and find out why are they saying that? Why are they making that statement? So, but I mean, a long time ago it was. There's people hung because of it.
How about that?
Like hung within a year of the crime.
Jeez. Well, that's not modern day.
That's not modern day.
You're on death row for 30 years, and you're still smiling because you're still getting fed every day and don't have to worry about it. I'll never figure that out. I will never understand it. I'll never understand how the justice system works on many things.
Well, you know, they passed some laws this last time. I don't know. I'm trying to remember how it works. It's on these Rule 32 petitions. What they are is post-conviction. So anything after you've been convicted is called a post-conviction proceeding. So what they're doing is they said, and I haven't even read it, supposed to be streamlining it so you can get it through. But it's not necessarily – that's just lip service that the state's doing, because it's once you file that petition and get it heard – and then you get it through the Supreme Court of Alabama, you're out of the state system. You're in the federal system then, you know, and sometimes that does take longer. So, because most of the time you're not going to get a favorable ruling by a state court. Most of the time you're not. And so you go to these federal courts and try to get your rulings then. So I don't know that the law they passed, I don't even know they even pass constitutional muster. When it gets down to it, federal courts ain't gonna care. As long as you go through your process in state, that's all that matters to get to the federal.
I guess when I look at the big picture of the United States and all the crime that's going on, I mean, you would have to have court probably every day in every state, in every city, every 5 minutes, because I mean, probably some of these people that's on death row and they keep appealing and doing this and that and filing this and that, and they go to court again. I mean, you'd have to have court 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And the crime rate in America is horrendous. I mean, it really is. So, as long as there's crime, there's always money to be made. That's the bottom line.
Yep. So. And you know, that's why I've said this over the last two or three years a lot, and then I've not ever acted on it. But I could probably make some pretty good money if I could come up with some kind of a system where I could get with the Justice Department, United States Justice Department, and say, hey, look, here's a study that I'm going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. This is how much money it's going to cost to do it. And let's try to figure out what is the factors that control crime. Because, and I'm sure they have people that does it, but I'm talking about really getting in depth. So you would go to each of the, you know, divide the United States into five or six different regions, go to each one of them regions, and pick cases, and then go actually find them people, and the repeat offenders, and look at their lives, and see how it all plays out. So, I've always wondered this: is it really the poor people that's the crime? Is it the poverty that causes the crime, or is it the crime that causes the poverty? So is it, if you go and look and see these repeat offenders, what kind of life do they live? You know, were their parents, did their parents stay together? Were they raised by a single parent? What kind of education did they get? The school system, job opportunities. Did they work? They get fired a lot. Did they get in trouble a lot as a juvenile? You know, how does their family play into it? How was their family's lifestyle? What kind of upbringing did they have? Did they live, you know, in rundown trailer parks, rundown apartments type stuff, where there's a lot of other crime, and you know, what breeds it into them where they just keep on doing it? And like I said, if you divide it up in regions and kind of see what is the factor that causes all this stuff? Is it the poverty life, the kind of life these people lived, where their parents and their grandparents and their uncles and nephews and, well, cousins and stuff, were they all criminals? Is it something that just kind of went with the family? Or is it the fact that these people are criminals first, and then because they're criminals, they just live in poverty? I don't know. That's just something interesting. I just like to find out what causes these. Because, well, I talked to a guy yesterday. I went to jail and visit some of the guys that's in there. They're my clients. And I got a point of this guy, and I look, man, and literally he's got three pages full of just crimes, and all of them that I remember are like receiving stolen property, stealing. He may have had a break and an entering of some sort, but, you know, and some drug crimes and stuff like that. This guy probably had 10 priors, you know, at least, and I'm talking about felony priors, and had a bunch of misdemeanors. You know, and he's man, I'm getting my parole revoked. I'm about to go back to prison, and I got these two or three cases pending. I'm like, well, what do you expect when you keep, you know, when you keep committing crimes? I mean, and he really wants out. He really wants to be free. But I'm thinking, how do you expect to be free when you've got page after page after page of a criminal history of cases? And these are cases, you understand, these are cases that are in the county court. So I never did ask him. I don't know how many cases this guy's got in misdemeanor courts, that in municipal courts, city courts. They're all misdemeanors or traffic violations. But how many, you know, shoplifting charges and marijuana charges and things of that nature does he have? I mean, I bet his criminal history is just unreal, you know, and you know, what do you do with someone? Like, I know some people just say, just lock them up, throw them away, you know, lock them, throw away the key. Well, I mean, I don't know how this guy's probably in his 40s. We just raised this guy in prisons for the rest of his life. But now, he keeps doing stuff to get himself in there.
So you
can't kill him, you know what I'm saying? But
if you go to bat for him, Melvin,
yeah,
and you get him off, you know what's going to happen next week. He's going to be back in your office. He's going to be back in your office. Hey, Melvin, I got arrested again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, and they, oh, man, are you kidding me? I'm surprised at that. Yeah. So, you know, them kind of people, and that's the kinds I'm talking about doing a study, is sit down with them, and if you can get past all the crap they're going to feed you, and really get down and study them and try to figure out why is it. You know, let them tell you, why do you always commit crime? Do you are you dumb and think you can get by with it? Number you one. Think you're just smarter. And a lot of them do. Are you dumb? Do you get yourself in these circumstances? And all of them's going to say, yeah, man, I just did this or that. Well, why are you getting yourself in these circumstances? Is it really because you're addicted to drugs? Is it really because you're just lazy and don't want to work and you won't, is it because, you know, I think there probably is a crime with kleptomania. I think there is an illness. I think there's a mental illness where people just, I don't know, they just want something somebody else has got. They just want to steal it. I don't know. They get some kind of
a high, maybe?
A high out of it. I don't know. Gives them a good feeling of shoplifting and doing stuff. I don't understand
it. I mean, it could.
I don't understand it because we don't live, you know, we don't think like that. I would just feel icky if I was stealing somebody's stuff.
Even a pencil.
Yeah. So what is it that drives this person? And if you really don't want to go to prison, you really don't like staying in jail, why do you put yourself in that situation?
Right.
You know, and I mean, you get down to it, he may say, man, I just don't know any better. Well, why don't you know any better? I don't, you know.
Yeah. You know what? I will never buy that from anybody. Yeah. That's just me personally.
Just an excuse. I think it's
yeah,
just
that's
an
me
excuse.
Personally. I know I have my own thoughts on a lot of things, but every person is an individual with a brain, and I don't care what kind of circumstances that you've been in through life, you still know right from wrong.
Yeah.
So for you to continually go down that wrong path, it's because you want to make that decision. You want to do it.
You know, and I have parents all the time that comes in and says, they wouldn't raise that way. They wouldn't raise that way. I don't know why he's doing it or why she's doing it. They wouldn't raise that way. So,
you know what? And probably a lot of it's right.
I believe it's true. I believe the majority of that is true. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, is it because they didn't? Maybe they should have got beat a little bit more. I don't know.
Maybe. You know, there's a lot of good mamas and daddies out there that's really tried their hardest to raise their kids, and they just go crazy.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I say at some point you let that kid keep going crazy and you just back off.
Yeah.
And let them grow up as an adult the hard way, even if it's going through the prison system. You can give us a call if you have a question, because next we're going to dive into child support, and we're going to talk about child support right here in Colman County. You can give us a call at 256-737-9505 if you would like to ask Melvin a question, because anytime that this is always discussed, there's always a million people wanting to know, well, what about this and what about that? So the phone lines are open, 256-737-9505. Melvin is waiting on your call. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
I'm Ed Horrell, author of The Kindness Revolution. I just spoke to an employee of a company that I do business with. During the conversation, the employee made it clear that they didn't like their company or their boss. They also made it clear that they didn't give their best efforts because of their displeasure, and they were saving their best for their ideal job. Well, I've got a tip for them. If you want the ideal job, the best way to get it is to do your best on your current job. You're going to get discovered. I can't tell you how many employees I've hired or recommended over the years as a result of observing them at their current position. Employers are always, or should be, watching competitors or other companies for their next hire. Or possibly someone in your current organization will see your efforts and want you for their team. In this regard, we're like actors or athletes. To get discovered, we need to be doing the best we can right now. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law, Big D and Melvin. We're going to jump in child support. I know it's a big topic that we've discussed it in the past, but it's such a popular subject, unfortunately, because, you know, these days the divorce rate is high. You know, it's much higher than it was, I'm sure, back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, with divorce comes child support. So here we go.
It is, and after you get divorced, there's still modifications if the child support amount changes, or if the needs of the children change, then child support can change. So a lot of cases you do is modifications. And I'm gonna tell you, I mean, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of unmarried parents too. So there's a lot of cases that comes through. District. So the divorces go through circuit court. The district court handles the other child support cases of the non-married parents. So there's a lot of them comes through where you get the, we call them paternity cases. You know, it's the DNA cases. You don't have to have a DNA. If the mother and the father agrees that he's the father, then you don't have to have a DNA test. Sometimes they, you know, I don't know. I need to ask Judge Turner how often they do DNA tests, how many people come up and say, no, I want a DNA test. But I imagine most of them admit it.
So we go back from a time of 10, 15 years ago when people actually paid child support through the Coleman County Courthouse.
Yes.
And I believe that's all gone now. Yes. And it's all dealt with Montgomery. Now parents actually have almost, I guess, like debit cards that their money goes on.
Yes.
So the system has definitely changed over the years. And I guess when we get right down to the basics of it, Melvin, we can just talk about how we calculate this, because it's on mom's income and dad's income, and you can kind of explain how that goes.
And the good thing about it all going through this, called the central disbursement system, is that it keeps up with the amount of money. I've been doing this for over 16 years now, and it has changed so much. And like you said, the last 10 or 15 years, it's unbelievable. 10 years ago, there were people that were, like you said, was paying it through the court. So if, but at least when you paid it through the court, you'd also be able to keep a running balance too. You know, you'd be able to see how much you paid each month. But now there were, and I've done them, there were divorces 15 years ago, maybe even up to 10 years ago, where you'd put on a debt that one parent would directly pay the other parent. So, you know, that sets up a system where it's a mess.
Right.
Right. Because some of them probably actually did pay cash. Some, you know, you'd have, let's just say the fathers, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of times it is truth, the male ends up paying support. So a lot of times the fathers would come in and say, man, I paid support. And mom said, oh, no, you didn't pay that support.
There we go.
Yeah, and, you know, it's cash. Like, well, did you get a receipt for it? No, yeah. But, you know, and then it gets to be like, oh, my gosh. And you really don't know who's telling the truth and who's not. And you just try to find something, you know, maybe try to catch, like if you represented the father and the father, and he's saying, man, I paid it. You try to catch her in a lie, maybe where she said, he's never paid me over $200. And maybe one time there's a receipt or a couple times there's a check where it's over $300. You know, it's $300.
Right.
And you can say, look, you lied now. You know, you're lying. So how do we know whether to believe you or not? So, but now almost, okay, so 15 years ago, the cases used to say that the orders would say that an income withholding order, which we'll talk about in a minute, would be filled out, entered by the court, be held in the file, and wouldn't be issued until the parent got at least 30 days behind. So it didn't hold it out of your check, because I imagine, and there probably are some employers, some of these smaller ones, they just don't want to have to deal with this. They don't want to have to deal with taking the money out, how much money they got to take out each week or every 2 weeks, depending on how you paid, hold it, send it into the court system. So, you know, a lot of people say, man, you know, I'm going to get fired. They don't do that stuff. I got to be able to pay cash, pay directly or whatever else. But now pretty well everybody pays it into the system. And most of the time we do income withholding order, because I think most employers now that's just everyday life for them. I mean, if you're going to have employees, somebody's going to be paying a garnishment or a child support order or something. So I don't think that affects your employment status anymore. It's a withholding order entered. That money's taken out of your check and it's paid. It's paid to the state. And just like you said, yeah, it goes to, it used to be a check, get mailed to the parent at the end of the month. Now I think the money's added on a debit card almost instantly. So, you know, as they receive it. So how do we calculate it? There's a few forms that are required, and one of them is the CS-41 form, or it's called a Child Support 41 form. It's a Child Support Income Statement Affidavit. So anytime there's a divorce case, these are supposed to be filed. Anytime that there's a child support, these things are supposed to be filed. And what it is, you list your employment, you list your income, you list down how much money's is paid for work-related child care, if you're the parent that pays it, how much the insurance premiums are, and then if you pay child support or alimony in a prior court order, then it's entered in here. Now, what's interesting is, and I was just reviewing the rule that sets out child support is called Rule 32. It's the Alabama Rules of Judicial Administration, which kind of controls the court system. That's how the Supreme Court of Alabama, they have some little committee that comes up with these rules and these child support guidelines. But I was reading their rules, and usually, like, if you came in and said, hey, I need to figure out my child support, I'd take your name, would put where you work at, put how much money that you make. It says here average monthly salary in the last year, so it ain't by hour. Usually I say, hey, how much money did you make last year on your last taxes? We'll divide it out here. And then you list down what your current gross income is. We always just list employment income, and that's it. So you say, hey, man, I make $18 an hour. I work 40 hours a week, and I don't ever work overtime. That's what it is. So we want to multiply that out and list that here. But there's also, with monthly gross income, there's also other things that's entered. For instance, gross income includes salaries, wages, commissions, so any of the money that you make, bonuses, dividends, severance pay, any money you receive from pensions. It says interest. So if you receive interest money from anything, which most probably that's not significant, but there may be some people that is a significant amount of money. Any trust income, any annuities, capital gains, Social Security benefits you receive, workers' comp benefits, unemployment benefits, disability benefits. It also says, I didn't realize this, and pre-existing periodic alimony. So I'm the mom, so I list my income down, and included in that income is And it probably lists under other non-employment related income would be pre-existing periodic alimony. So if I received alimony for $300 or $400 a month, or $500 a month, you have to list that down.
So that's going
to
be part of free income.
It has to be a part of income. And the tricky part, hey, there's also, what was it? I can't remember. There's a couple other things I thought, man, I didn't even realize that. So really, it's any money that you receive from anything. And it's not only that, other employment-related income, if you receive a company truck, ain't that crazy? Whatever, or receive money for meals or receive money for, as part of your pay. I got a company truck. I don't know how you do this, but you should have to furnish automobile, clothing allowance, a housing allowance. If you're getting any extra money for stuff like that, you're supposed to add that in as your income. So
that's insane.
So a furnished automobile, how do you determine, hey, that's $300 extra a month I get because I have a furnished automobile for work? I know. It is crazy. And nobody does. I promise you, nobody figures that in child support stuff, but it is supposed to be figured in with your determining what your income is. The toughest one, and whether you're the person paying the child support or you're the one receiving child support, the toughest one to get around, I tell everybody, is self-employment income. So, for instance, Daryl, when he has, you get paid a certain amount per hour, wage, or salary, whatever, it's easy. Okay, so you just take how much money you make and divide it and put it in. That's easy. You just write them six figures down there and that you get paid, and that's it. That's easy money put down there. Now then, but now, in your situation, we'd have to take consideration the money that you receive from doing any type of radio show stuff, any money that you receive from doing DJ business stuff. Now then, the DJ business is where it would be difficult, the self-employment income, because self-employment income, you determine it by, it's your income, the gross amount that you make, minus any gross receipts for ordinary and necessary expenses. So then you got to figure out, all right, I make X amount of money, but what, and I've had a couple of cases, it's been a while since we did it, where you determine what is that ordinary and necessary expenses to make your money. And that's,
I'm in the hole.
Oh yeah. Well, see, that's where the, I know, and that's where the fight is. And when you get someone, and like I said, I've been on both sides of the, I mean, representing people on both sides of the fence on this one. Represent, let's say, the mom that's saying, look, he's driving a 2018 truck, you know, nice $70,000 truck. His wife doesn't work. She's driving a 2018 Lexus $100,000 car, and they live in a $300,000 house, and he's listening that he makes $20,000 a year. Now, how does that work?
Right.
You know, because he's self-employed and he deducts all this stuff. But, you know, the rules say that you can't deduct, you know, you don't deduct what, you don't go by RS and say, all right, RS says I get to deduct all this stuff and this is how much money I pay taxes on. It's not that amount of money, even though a lot of people just give in and say whatever. It's not that amount of money. It's that amount of money that you make minus the necessary expenses. You know, if you're paying rent, if you're paying utilities, you're paying out an employee, whatever you're paying on employees, it's kind of that stuff. You know, what gets to be a problem is like when you got somebody doing construction and they're saying, well, I'm having to buy tools, I have to buy these trucks, I have to pay for this, I have to pay for that, my insurance. That's where it gets to be kind of.
I would think you'd have to have a CPA to sit here and figure this out.
It would, and if somebody, you know, you really got to determine what kind of money are we talking about. Okay, so if you represent somebody, and maybe the other side is a doctor, and they're making $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 a year, and they're trying to say you're only making $50,000 a year, then that's something you can probably try to, that's something you probably really want to go after and try to really work on. But, you know, if you got to construct, somebody that's building houses, let's say, and you're trying to fight, hey, are they making $30,000 a year or are they making $50,000 a year? Even though that $20,000 makes a pretty good difference in the child support stuff, how much money are you going to spend to get that? How successful are you going to be? And in the end, I tell you, in real life, it happens all the time. Judge Nicholas tells us all the time. And it wasn't just him. The Judge Bruner did it. Judge Hardiman did it. I had them in Morgan County. Judge Thompson, all them guys do it. You go in there and say, well, how much you say the child support is, Melvin? I say it's $300 a month. How much you say it is, Joe Smith? I say it's $500 a month. Then he looks at you and say, what's $400 a month? You know, they just cut it right in the middle. So they want to know, what do you figure it out as? What does the other side figure it out as? And they say, all right, I'm going to put it right in the middle. Which only makes sense. You
know, like, that's easy.
Yes, real easy there, Judge, you know. And, you know, a lot of times, I mean, that'll be some of the fights. And these cases, I tell people all the time that when you're doing this, and as you can see right here, this is a total business decision. But most people don't see it that way, but I try to beat it in their head. I said, you got to understand this is a business decision. Keep your emotions out of it. You know, are we going to go in here and you're going to spend hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars trying this case, talking about how sorry and low down everybody is, and fighting and having the judge to order this case when we're fighting over 10 or 15 or 20 bucks a month? Right. You know, now it was just the principle of it. No, it's not just the, I mean, sometimes it is, but I was like, look, you're being emotional about it. Let's make a good business decision. You know, if you don't want to pay the extra $15, let's go off from a month, let's go off from $750 extra a month. You know, and sometimes you can read it, it gets funny. I mean, they'll get down to the dollars or the cents. I mean, it's crazy and stuff. Cause the parties won't be the last one. They want to be the one to win. You know, they want to be the last one to say okay. So.
And whether you agree with me or not, the bottom line is, when you get into a marriage, I mean, you can redefine marriage if you want, but it's really a business venture now.
It is a business venture. Absolutely.
So, I mean, absolutely lovey-dovey, together forever, okay. But it's a business venture.
Yeah.
And at many times, unfortunately, throughout life, that business venture is going to be broken up, and then you're going to see what really falls out.
Yeah.
But that's just the bottom line.
And it's no different than a lot of business ventures. You know what I'm saying? If me and you is going to start a business together, we don't start a business together thinking, you know, 10 years down the road, we're going to split ways.
Right. Exactly.
And lose everything. We're going to work together and do this stuff. When you get married, you do the same thing. You don't get married to get divorced, but
exactly. Sometimes
it happens, and you just got to. I know it's easier said than done. You got to set aside them the emotions of it and make good decisions. But we still just on the income after it. We ain't got through this. I got rambling on, but that is important because I promise you, and I do hundreds of these a year. We never
break it
self-employment
down
income,
that.
Other employment-related income, non-employment-related income. It's just not added in there, you know. And the thing about it, you know, let's say there's $200 or $300 a month that's left out of this. Let's just say there's that much that's left out. That $200 or $300 a month, when it's all said and done, the child support, that probably the $10 or $15 change.
Right.
It ain't $20 at the most. It takes. Somebody comes in and they'll say, hey, he listed $1,500 a month as his income. He actually makes $1,600 a month.
Right.
Okay. I'm saying, well, that $100 difference is only going to change the child support 10,
right.
10 bucks. I only think it changes it 10 bucks, $8 a month.
And if it really had to been done, if it has to be done exactly down to the penny, do you imagine how many employees that you would have to hire to work for you?
Oh, it'd be
tough
to do all that stuff.
You'd never make any money.
And then everybody else, and then you just spend so much money on lawyer fees. Any money that you'd get, it just go away. So we don't add that in there. We'll talk about a couple of other things on this paper before we get on to the next.
256-737-9505. You can give us a call, and Melvin will be glad to answer your question. Talking about child support. You're listening to Live 95.5 WRJMLP. We are Coleman's Only Rock Station. We'll be back in just a moment.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines.
treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Ed Harrell, founder of The Kindness Revolution. I read a blog today and the title caught my attention. It said, if you spot it, you got it. The author went on to explain that often when we focus on the behavior of others, it's because we might tend to display that particular behavior ourselves. When we criticize others for their anger or their snap decisions or their impatience, it might just be because we display those tendencies ourselves. And sometimes we get so caught up in criticizing how others behave, we're blind to our own behavior. Maybe this is a good time to reflect on a couple of things. One would be to slow down before we judge others. The second, and maybe most important, would be to take a look at our own behavior and ask ourselves if we're pleased with it. That simple process just might make us better people and make our worlds a little kinder. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. We have been talking about child support. There's just so many things, though, that we can ask and things we can talk about. We're not going to do it in the next 14 minutes, so maybe we can do another show on this because there's so many different aspects and so many different angles of child support. Let's just go to the very end of it, Melvin. How long is the longest that a dad or a mom has to pay?
Until a child, in Alabama, until a child reaches the age of 19, or that child becomes married or self-supporting.
Beyond that age, possibly.
Well, no. 19, it's 19, it stops. There's one exception to it, but 19, it always stops at 19. Now then, if that child gets married when he's 17, 18,
exactly,
16,
that's what I'm saying,
then
beforehand.
It stops, yes.
Okay.
Or if that child is self-supporting beforehand, then it is. So that gets to be a question. I'll probably get two or three of those cases come in a year. Where they say, "Hey, this child's self-supporting," and sometimes you're like, "Man, are they not?" You know, if I always think, well, you know, if that child's out living on their own in their own house,
right,
paying their own bills, then yeah, they're probably self-supporting. You know,
let me tell you something. I would clap for that young man.
Oh, yeah, they did that stuff. You know, but it's not, you know, even though it's the child's money,
right,
and the parent is the trustee of that money to spend it on a child, you know, sometimes it's that feeling. Sometimes it's that the emotions get in there, that parent still wants to gig the other one, make sure they still get their right. money out of them. Right. Some of them truly need it. And some people, and I tell them all the time, this child support money, you can't count that as always being an income for you, because, you know, and say, all right, I'm going to add this money into my expenses so I can go buy me a car and this to be my car payment. Right. I said, because it is subject to change.
Exactly.
You may be getting $400 a month this year, but by December it may change to $250, and ain't nothing you can do about it, you know, right. but lose everything you got. So you got to keep that separated out. And so there's some parents that get themselves in a bind where they have to have that money to make their daggum monthly payments,
right.
even though the child's out on their own. So, you know, you get a fight on that, but but it always ends at 19. The only exception is, and I've had this happens once a year, where you have someone come in, and it's always been this. Every case that I remember, it's where, and it's always the father usually, he adopts a special needs child that he helped raise during the marriage. That kid's 21, 22, 25 years old, never going to work. And he's like, man, how long do I have to pay child support, you know? Or maybe he's paid a little bit, a couple $100 a month, whatever else, and now they come back and want to change it, make him pay $350, $400. He's like, man, this kid's 25 years old. How long do I have to pay it? And I'm like, well, as long as they're in Alabama, as long as they're a special needs child and they don't have the ability to earn a living, you're going to have to pay it. Yeah, so you imagine that. So you got to be careful about that stuff.
I have no commentary on that.
Yeah, I know.
As well as you should.
And I tell you, one of the guys I represent now is, Lord, he's probably 66, 67 years old. You know, he was married to a younger woman, and she has a child that she has to raise.
Right.
That's 20, 22, 23, 24 years old. And he's like, man, you know, I draw Social Security and I draw $1,500 or $1,400 a month, or, you know, or less. He may even draw less than that.
It gets to be
tough, but, you know, he did get the child on, he had other children. And them children aged out. They got to be, I don't know, maybe Danielle knows. Is it 18? I can't remember. Is it when you reach 18 that you come off Social Security? I guess for adults,
yes.
I think it is. When you reach 18. Yeah. So he had some of them age out at 18. So more of that Social Security money went over to this other special needs child. And that helped out some. But, you know, you got this guy's retirement age.
Right.
He made a decision to adopt this kid.
I know.
And
but he can't make
a living.
If I'm in his shoes, and there goes my Social Security, you know, I'm just thinking that I'm telling the judge, look, I was a loving father to this child, and I've done everything that I could. Now, where's that child's real daddy at?
Yeah.
Because we need to be going after him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my personal opinion.
But the adoption is what does it. The adoption,
know,
when you adopt
know,
that child, it is your child from, I mean, from now on, man. Hey, I'm going to tell you.
It's best that I set
I can
up.
Tell, hey,
it's
I can tell I you some stories, man, about some
so
about
let me ask you this.
That
let me ask you this.
Hammered.
I'm probably going to get bashed for this. I don't know, but I don't care, though. So why do you think that
the views and opinions of
what's that now? Because people's going to slam Jay. Why do you think most men adopts these children that's not theirs? Do you think it's because they want to show the new wife how much that they really care for their children, or want to be accepted even more by the family to show that he's that loving new father figure now, along as well as a husband? I mean, I think there's different factors in there why he's going to do it
Maybe that kid needs a daddy.
I
can be his daddy without adopting him.
I have had a few of them. I've had quite a few of them say that that they've got pressured into it. So, yes, I think some of it is that. They felt like there's pressure into it. You know, every once in a while you'll find them that says, you know, I just did it because, yeah, I wanted to be the dad. I just took responsibility of them, but I didn't know where this was going. I didn't know this responsibility was going to go for the rest of their life.
Business venture.
It is, yeah.
It's a name change, too. Huh? A lot of...
Well, yeah, some of them will, so they
children
can.
Children or vice versa, and they adopt them. They want that name,
so they can change their name. It is a serious. You know, I used to not. When people wanted to adopt or whatever else, I just thought whatever, and I draw the papers and did it and go on. But now I do usually take the time to talk to, and a lot of times it's the men. A lot of times it's the men. Not all the time, but a lot of times it's the men. And they'll come in, and I'll explain to them. I said, you understand what you're doing. I'm not talking you out of it. You can do it. It don't bother me. I don't make a lot of money off the adoptions. Exactly. I just do it. So I was like, so if you understand the obligations you got, you know, this is your child, period. Legally, it's your child. And they're all, yeah, you know, and they're all gung-ho and they do it. And then sometimes I see them people later on, they're like, man, I wish I had never done that. because here's the deal. As the child, you know, that some people's just mean and vindictive, and we all know that.
Right.
As a child gets older, and maybe these parents go their separate way, that one parent will remind that kid, that's really not your daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And get the child where he doesn't want to have a relationship with his new adopted father. Right. But they'll do, or mother, and it goes both ways. And then they'll sit there, and boy, they sure want that money though every month.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll sit there and say, well, I'm not the one keeping the kid from him. He just don't want to go see him, or he don't want to go see her. Right. So it's just a bunch of just junk they get in there. So I remind people, and I say, you know, I feel like I gave you my 2 cents worth, because, and I can't remember what case it was, but I did one. Somebody came in on adoption. I did it. Didn't really talk to him about it, and it blew up in their face. And this wasn't. I mean, of course, it wasn't his kid because he adopted the child, but. Hey, and you get grandparents that do the same thing too, you know. And for instance, maybe a grandmother got custody of the kid through a DHR case or whatever else, and then you got this guy that marries grandma, and then he adopts this as his grandchild, and then they split up, and then it really, you know, it's neither one of them's real child. They're right. Raising a kid that's really not their own. And then this woman's really mad because they had to pay money for the other one. It's not their kid, not their grandchild, and it just gets to be a blowed up mess.
And I think my best advice for anybody and everybody out there concerning everything that we've talked about: be smart. Don't think that all lovey dovey, everything's great. Nothing's ever great except the love of your heavenly Father. That's the only thing that's great. Everything below that, it ain't gonna happen. So you need to be smart on the things that you do. Because look, I'm a single man. If I get married, I don't think I ever will. But if I do get married, there's going to be a prenup. And if she says I'm not going to sign it, then I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to marry you. You got to be smart these days, because there's a lot of wonderful women out in this world, and there's a lot of women that is vindictive, that want to get married and get your assets. And the same thing goes for men. Men that see women that have money, they're going to do the very same thing. It's a cruel world out there. You have to be business-minded every single day of what you're doing.
And if you need some examples, Judge Judy airs on your local TV show every day at 4 o'clock.
Don't miss it. But it is. I mean, I hate to talk about things like that, but it's a fact. Everything's a business, and don't let your emotions get involved, because once you do, you're going down the wrong path.
So so we talked about when it ended, and like I said, the only exception is the special needs, and I can't remember I've had a couple of cases. I'm trying to think what they are. You have a child, and you see it's not that many, where they're 17 years old and they're going off to college. You know, then question gets to be, hey, are they all self-supporting now? Right. You know, who's having a who's having to do it. So sometimes that gets to be a fight over, hey, you know, do I have to stop his child support or not? And usually, sometimes you just file that petition, and then sometimes the parents can will just come up with some type of. Sometimes you just have to force their hands to come up with some type of an agreement. You know, he may be paying $500 a month, but child's going to college, maybe scholarships, and all that money's being added in there, and child's living like that. Mom's really not having to pay. And I use mom and father a lot. That doesn't mean one way or the other. But most of the time, everybody knows nobody's not stupid. It's men paying the women. and if the child's in college, 17, and then he's arguing, why am I still having to pay her child support? He don't even live with her.
Right.
She's not having to pay any money on this stuff. He's got a scholarship. He's getting everything paid for down there. And that gets to be an issue. So usually you file a petition.
I think that is an issue.
It is a big issue. And then you file a petition, and it stops. You know, and usually you come up with some kind of agreement. I'll keep on paying this for the next 6 months, and then it will end, or we'll pay $250 a month, or something like that. So,
next question: in any divorce that happens here in Coleman County, is there ever a time when we have this divorce decree to where the parents say we do not want child support in this paperwork, that he'll just pay me so much money a week, and we're good with it, and we don't want any of this done?
I have people ask that. I mean, and it happens quite a bit. You know, they always try to talk to, it don't matter which side you're representing, either the one that's getting it or the one that's paying. I was like, man, do you really trust that? You know, do you really, y'all are better off figuring out some kind of an amount and just doing it. And usually I talk them into coming up some kind of amount and putting it in there so everybody's protected. But one way of getting around that, and what some people do, these guidelines are set up. The court's supposed to follow them. The parties are supposed to follow them. You can deviate from them. You got to have a reason to deviate from them. We'll have to take that up maybe the next time. But sometimes we'll just, you know, you say, hey, that you fix the visitation schedule, the custody, the joint custody, and then you'll put the term in there, the language in there, that each party will provide care for the child that, you know, it's in the direct care for the child that's in their custody. You know, while it's time that's in the custody, and there's no child support order, and that does happen that does happen pretty often. It gets to be an issue, you know.
Because
I'm going to tell you what, when you get down to it, and I know we're fishing around time, but when you get down to it, what happens is, one of them's wanting to hurry up and get married. I mean, I see it all the time.
Right.
One of them's wanting to hurry up and get married, or both of them's wanting to hurry up and get married, and it's like, let's just hurry up and get divorced, and then I'll come back and get child support later. I hear it all the time. So, hey, but there was a case that came out of the Supreme Court of Alabama a couple years ago where they did that, and then the person immediately, 2 months later, 3 months later, whatever else, filed something to get child support, because they hadn't got divorced, no child support, and then they filed to get child support, and I can't remember how the local court ruled, the trial court ruled, but Supreme Court of Alabama said you got to prove a change in circumstances, and the fact that you didn't get child support then and you chose not to get child support then and you want it now, that's your testimony.
That's it.
I'm not changing
it.
So it backfired on that person,
that's,
you know.
That's the main point that Melvin made right there. Anytime you revise a divorce or child support, there has to be a change of circumstances.
Yeah, there has to be. And the fact, and you have to prove it too. You have to prove that change of circumstances. Just, you know, it costs more money to raise a child, or we just put whatever, put all kinds of stuff in there, but they eat more. You know, spend more money on them, pay more money for their clothes, spend money on their ex school and extracurricular activities. All that reason is a reason to change the child support. So, We're out of time, but listen, we need to finish this up because we ain't even touched.
Oh, I know. There's so much to talk about.
We ain't even touched nothing with this because we just trying to figure out how you figure their incomes right now. Exactly. We ain't even got past that yet. They even figured out the child support amounts.
Thanks for being tuned in this evening to Understanding the Law. You can catch us again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Live 95.5. And don't forget, you can catch the Big D Radio Show in about another 12 weeks. Look, I had to throw that in there because I always talk about it every week. Oh, me. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tell your friends and family to listen to us right here on Live 95.5 and give us a call 256-737-9505 next week. We'll catch you next time.